Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Ms. Cornwell, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
Staff would note that you could remove the approval of the minutes from the January 12th, 2017 meeting and the remove of other business item, Key Properties LLC.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Move and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. All right then. Since the agenda amendment included the removal of an item of other business, Key Properties LLC, if there's anyone here with an interest in Key Properties LLC preliminary site plan, that has been removed from the agenda. Okay, our next item is old business. We have two items of old business this evening. Our first one being subdivision 2016-14, Burton's Pond LLC.
Mr. Chairman, before we get started on that, just as a reminder, I recuse myself from that hearing, so I'm not going to participate.
All right, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I have reviewed the tape and the file, and I am prepared to participate in the discussion and vote.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Hanson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2016-14 for Burton's Pond LLC based on the record and for the following reasons. The proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects orderly growth of Sussex County. The project complies with the Sussex County Subdivision Code. It lies partly within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. It is zoned AR1 and meets the purposes and requirements of that district. The development is designed in accordance with the cluster development ordinance. The proposed cluster design is superior to a standard subdivision. For instance, the clustering has been used to preserve wooded areas and a natural buffer next to the wetlands and Burton's Pond, and there are greenways and small parks throughout the site. Most of the lots are adjacent to open space, and there are sidewalks and walking, jogging, and bike trails promoting interconnectivity within the project. The items listed in 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance have been favorably addressed. The applicant has proposed 265 lots within the project and is a permissible density within AR1, within an AR1 subdivision on land. The project will not adversely affect the neighboring or adjacent properties. The project is consistent with existing family development or single family development in the area. The lots will be served by central water and sewer in accordance with the federal, state, and county requirements. Although there are wetlands on the site, they will not be disturbed by this development, and the lots are substantially separated from them. No wetlands are included within any lots. The development will protect and enhance the existing environmental features at that site, including the wetland and woodland areas. It will do this through the use of an environmental management plan to evaluate, monitor, and address non-point source pollution, water quality, wildlife habitat, invasive species, and aesthetics in and around Burton's Pond and its watershed. With the conditions imposed, the proposed subdivision will be designed and built in accordance with the subdivision code and the requirements of the environmentally sensitive development district. This preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. There should be no more than 265 lots in the subdivision. In order to provide ease of use and to promote safety in the community, all lots must be located on the southwest side of Holly Mount Road. The applicant shall form a homeowners association and be responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, open space, and other common areas, including an environmental management plan for Burton's Pond. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. The system shall be operated using best management practices to provide groundwater recharge. All entrances intersections, roadways, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. In addition, the relocation of Holly Mount Road shall be completed within the first phase of the development. Street lighting shall be provided, and the locations of the streetlights shall be shown on the final site plan. Street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. Sidewalks shall be installed on both sides of the streets within the subdivision. There shall also be walking, jogging, and bike paths throughout the subdivision as shown on the preliminary plan. The subdivision shall be served by central water and sewer as defined by the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, designed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department's specifications and in conformity with all DENREC regulations. The subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. A school bus shelter with parking shall be provided on the final site plan. The developer shall coordinate and cooperate with the local school district's transportation coordinator to establish the school bus stop area. The location of the bus stop shall be shown on the final site plan. In order to provide ease of use and to promote safety in the community, the pool, clubhouse, tot lot, and amenities shall be located on the southwest side of Holly Mount Road. A parking lot for homeowners to access Burton Pond shall be located on the northeast side of Holly Mount Road. No wetlands shall be included within any lot lines. The trees surrounding the wetlands shall be preserved. As presented by the applicant, a minimum 30-foot buffer from 404 wetlands shall be provided as shown on the preliminary site plan. The wetlands shall be marked with a permanent marker to prevent disturbance. The undisturbed forested area shall be shown on the final site plan. Within 2 years of receipt of a certificate of occupancy for the first owner-occupied home, not unoccupied models, the developer shall construct all the recreational amenities. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. All agricultural and wetland buffers shall be provided in accordance with applicable regulations. As represented by the applicant shall establish an environmental management plan for Burton's Pond, including designing, implementing, and monitoring and managing strategies for the pond and its watershed. This responsibility shall be transferred to the Homeowners Association, and an adequate budget shall be established to accomplish the intent of the plan. Prospective homeowners shall be made aware of the association's responsibility prior to the purchase of a lot. The developer shall design and install a landscape buffer of berms and plantings running south to north along the entire property boundary with Route 24. As represented by the applicant, the use of Burton's Pond by residents of the subdivision shall be subject to the following conditions. Watercraft shall be limited to fishing boats with electric motors and non-motorized watercraft. Watercraft of Burton's Pond by community residents shall be limited to a maximum of 30 watercraft at one time. The Homeowners Association will establish a system of ownership of registration to implement this policy. After the receipt of a certificate of occupancy, for the first owner-occupied home, hunting will not be permitted on Burton's Pond. Signs will be posted. The use of Burton's Pond will also be made available to the public and adjacent property owners, and they will be able to utilize the proposed parking to access the pond. The public and adjacent property owners will not be permitted to use or launch watercraft to access Burton's Pond. This condition shall not prohibit or limit access and use of Burton's Pond by adjacent property owners who may otherwise have legal or prescriptive right to use Burton's Pond with or without watercraft. A revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Sussex County Office of Planning and Zoning. This site may be in the vicinity of an existing wellhead. The final site plan and development of this project shall comply with requirements of Sussex County Source Water Protection Ordinance. The final site plan shall be subject to review and the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval. I'm sorry, it's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2016-14, Burton's Pond LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2062, RDK&A Investments LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend the approval of conditional use number 2062 for RDK&A Investments for an office based upon a record made during a public hearing and for the following reasons. The project is located on the north side of Burbage Road with the conditions imposed on this use and is an appropriate location for this conditional use. The project, with the conditions and limitations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. The property will be used as an office for a mail order medical supply company and will have minimal impact on the character of the neighborhood. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following stipulations and conditions. There should not be any building contractors or subcontractors, office or workshops within the site. No medical supply, device or product shall be manufactured, created, assembled, or stored on the property except that such medical supplies, devices, and products which are customarily found in an office setting shall be permitted on this premise. Any security lighting shall be downward screened so that it doesn't shine on any neighboring properties or roadway. A landscape buffer of Leland cypress or similar vegetation shall be maintained or planted along the boundaries of the project adjacent to any residential property so that the office will be screened from view of any residential properties. The site shall not be used for the storage or delivery of medical supplies, devices, or other items sold as part of the mail order medical supply business. All inventory for the mail order medical supply business shall be maintained at a different location. Only one unlit sign shall be permitted on the property. It shall not exceed 32 square feet per side. All vehicle parking shall be clearly shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. The site shall not be used for any on-site retail business sales. The final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2062 RDK&A Investments LLC for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Not voting. I did not attend a public hearing.
Carried. 3-0 with one abstention by Mr. Ross. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we reached a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We thank you for coming out to be with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. I assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In these proceedings, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Also during the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2064 R&K Partners.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for medical offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.54 acres, more or less. The property is located in the northwest side of Savannah Road, Route 18, approximately 450 feet northwest of West Coates Road, Route 12. The 911 address is 1537 Savannah Road, Lewis. The tax map is District 335, Map 12.05, Parcel 4. Staff does note that we did receive the response from the service level request from DLDOT. There was also a staff analysis regarding the application, giving you the surrounding conditional uses, change zoning classifications, and the land use classifications in your packet. There was a site plan, and the applicant also submitted an exhibit booklet. Thank you.
We thank you. All right, then. Chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good evening. As Mr. Wheatley just indicated, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown, and tonight I am representing the Hosmany family with respect to the application that was just introduced by Ms. Cornwell. Sitting behind me are the doctors Hosmany, a urologist and a cardiologist, and sitting behind Mr. Gulbronson is John Murray with Kircher Engineering. The Hosmany family has owned this property since 1988, so for almost 30 years. And the site is located, most of you are probably familiar with where the site is located, but just to help orient any members of the commission who are not and any members of the public who are here, it's located on Savannah Road. If you were traveling east on Savannah Road through the Five Points intersection, you would obviously pass the villages of Five Points with what used to be the Food Line and is now Weiss Markets. And then the next road you would come to would be Old Orchard Road. And that that road sort of begins what I'll call a medical district right outside the city of Lewis. And if you were to, as you travel, continue to travel east, you would travel through a series of offices. There is a mixture of residential use in there. And what I've just placed on the screen is an aerial view showing the various tax parcels that are on there. And the parcel that is the subject of tonight's application actually has the Planning and Zoning Commission's marker on it that you would find on the internet for a conditional use application, the shield or whatever that symbol is with a C in the middle of it. And you'll see as you look at that that we've identified on there the various conditional uses and change of zones and zoning classifications within this area of Savannah Road. In fact, from 1980 until today, there have been more than 30 conditional uses along this section of Savannah Road. The section of the road that you see right there does not show all 30 of those uses. This is a little tighter than that, but what is shown there is 18 of the conditional uses that have been granted. And as I indicated, many of those have been for medical and professional offices, which is consistent with tonight's application. In fact, if you look at the site that is the subject of tonight's application, you'll see that the property immediately to the west of it has two conditional uses on it, conditional use 1028 and conditional use 1243, and that is known as the Bayview Medical Center. And on the other side of the subject property tonight, you'll have conditional use 1009, and that is the Bay Health Associates. So on either side of this property, there's already existing conditional uses for medical offices. As was indicated a moment ago when the application was introduced, the site is a little over 1.5 acres that was improved with a single family residence. The property is zoned AR1, and tonight's application is for a conditional use pursuant to Sussex County Code for a medical office building that is a little less than 10,000 square feet in size. The proposed use is consistent with Sussex County's comprehensive plan for this area. The strategies for state policies and spending identify this area as investment strategy level 2, and it's not always so consistent that you can match a property in an area with the verbiage that's in the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending. But if you were to look in that document, you would see that one of the things that describes an investment level 2 area is that these areas have been shown to be the most active portion of Delaware's developed landscape. They serve as transition areas between level 1 and the state's more open, less populated areas. And frankly, I don't know that you could have described what's occurring on Savannah Road or has occurred over the last couple of decades other than that. This is a very active area. It's located obviously near a population center, a level 1 area, such as the city of Lewis, and connects that to as you move towards Route 1, and then, of course, obviously, west of Route 1. The site is supplied by Central Water through Tidewater and Central Sewer through Sussex County. Tab B in your exhibit notebooks is a site plan for a preliminary site plan. Obviously, tonight's purpose is to present the conditional use, but it's obviously helpful to see what the site would look like. It shows the approximate location of the building, parking, the open space, and the entrance off of Savannah Road. In your exhibit notebook at tab K, there is a list of the 17 factors from chapter 99. And while those factors typically obviously apply to a subdivision, which this of course is not, they also provide a good roadmap of just general land use concepts and strategies. And I'm not going to review each of those tonight, how it meets each of the 17 factors, but I did want to highlight several of them for you. Factors 1, 6, 12, and 16 all talk about the surrounding area. For instance, the first factor talks about the integration of the proposed development into existing terrain and the surrounding landscape. Number 6 talks about the screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties. 12 discusses the impact on property values. And 16 talks about compatibility with other land uses in the area. And frankly, that's a strength of this application, as there are numerous medical offices, including the ones on either side of this structure. So it obviously will integrate well into the existing terrain. It will not have a negative impact on property values, as it is consistent with all of the other uses most of the other uses in the surrounding area. And obviously that speaks to its compatibility. One of the other features that is always of great interest on these applications is the effect on transportation and roadways, which is factor 15, if you were using the section 99 factors from the subdivision ordinance. And as Ms. Cornwell indicated when she introduced the application, when the service level evaluation request was returned by DLDOT, they indicated that there would not be a traffic impact study that was required. In fact, their exact statement was that they deemed the traffic impact to be negligible in the context of DLDOT's agreement with the county regarding land development coordination. The applicant also sent the a preliminary site plan, the same site plan that you have in your exhibit notebook, to DLDOT, and at tab J in your notebook, you will see that DLDOT has issued a letter of no objection to recordation of that site plan, which indicates that they're okay with their sort of approval of the entrance. It's not an entrance permit. They have, obviously, the applicant has to go out and obtain that, but it's an indication that the site plan that you have in front of you tonight at tab B has been reviewed, and its concept for entrance and exit off through Savannah Road has been reviewed and approved by DLDOT. A number of the factors in Chapter 99-9 deal with environmental issues, and rather than deal with them in that, the applicant has included at tab L an analysis using the 12 factors contained in the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay Zone. Again, that's not a requirement for this application that that analysis be completed, but it, those factors do provide a nice roadmap and structure for those. Just as with the 99 factors, I'm not going to go through and read each of the individual factors and how this project complies. Highlighting a couple of those, drainage design and the stormwater management for the site will be done through green technology best management practices, and of course will be submitted to and required to be submitted to for approval to the Southeast Conservation District. There are no endangered or threatened species on the property. There are no state or federal jurisdictional wetlands on the property, and the property also lies outside of other sensitive areas such as the City of Lewis Wellhead Protection Zone. Over the last several decades, likely because of this area's proximity to the growing population in eastern Sussex County, the demand for doctors has increased dramatically, and there's always a need for primary care physicians and some specialists. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Dr. Hasmani to speak to that. Tonight, the Hasmani family will be asking the commission to recommend approval of this conditional use, as it will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of residents and supplement the medical offices already in existence along this section of Savannah Road. At this time, I'm going to ask Dr. Vinay Hasmani if he would come and briefly share with you his family's connection to the Sussex County medical practice and community, and then the need for medical services that I just referenced, and how they envision the proposed use of the proposed conditional use meeting those needs.
Mr. Chairman and Planning and Zoning Committee members, I'm Vinay Hasmani. I'm a cardiologist from Newark, Delaware. Thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight and listen to our appeal. Just a little intro to the area. My dad, Dr. Hasmani, here is a urologist. He's been here in town for 39 years. Some of you might know him. Recently featured in the BB Hospital 100-year film, since he was one of the first urologists and only one here for 15 years. Kind of keeping in that vein, he recently led two medical missions over to India with the Lewis Rehoboth Rotary Club. I'm a physician as well, a cardiologist. I'm a third-generation physician, so kind of keeping in that vein, I want to come back to Sussex County. Dad's building's a little bit too small for me, and we're being asked, every time I come down here, I'm being asked, you know, we don't just want you. We want you to bring some other doctors. You know, bring us some primary care doctors. Bring us a dermatologist, and that's like the repeated question. You know, how do we fulfill that need? We have our neighbors next door are telling us, you put primary care doctors in your building, we'll walk them over to you. I have patients of mine, you know, cardiology patients from Wilmington who reside down here. They still come up to see me. They drive all the way up to Wilmington to see their primary care doctor. And I try to ask them, why don't you see some, you know, somebody downstate, save some money, save some gas? They said, there is nobody. And we have had actually fellow doctors move down to Sussex County, and they're asking me, where do I find a doctor? So what we'd like to do with this building is have a space for me to do some cardiology and cardiovascular prevention. I think with our aging community, we need to do a lot more for prevention, not just treat diseases. So we have some unique ways that we want to do that. We also have kind of made some preliminary arrangements with some primary care doctors in Wilmington to come down here and some people who are interested. Other unique things we're trying to think about is how do you attract doctors down here other than just having a building? I think one of the things is that for people to come from out of state or out of town, it's very cost prohibitive to pay rent for 30 days. So one of the thoughts was, why not have an office space that we can rent to them on a rotating basis? So, you know, one of the things that people are telling me, hey, we need a dermatologist. So we can call a dermatologist and say, hey, we'll let you rent per diem. Our primary care doctors will, you know, stack up patients for you. You come here once a month and we'll give you 30 patients. So we have some preliminary talks. We're trying to get cardiologists, primary care doctors, general surgeons, dermatologists to come here. So we're trying to look for something a little bit unique, just not for a place for me to practice, but just kind of carrying on in the family tradition of healthcare. I'm a third generation physician, and that's kind of what we do. That's the family business. So that's in a nutshell. Thanks for having us. Take care.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentation this evening. And one thing that I would note, as you may know, Mr. Byard submitted this application, so I'm going to throw him under the bus for a moment since he's not here to defend himself. And
this should be good.
In looking at the proposed conditions that he has for this, I believe he took Dr. Hasmani, who just spoke, I believe he took his exact office hours and put them as the proposed office hours. And I would be a little more liberal with those office hours, especially given what we've just heard from Dr. Hasmani about how he intends to use it with hopefully rotating in some physicians and specialists. And rather than 7:30 to 5, as is indicated there, I would ask that the commission consider 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 to 2 on Saturday to give more flexibility to the use of the site. And with that, I'm ready for any questions, as is Mr. Murray and the doctors.
All right, we thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see if there's anyone on the commission that has any questions for you, and we're going to start with Mr. Ross, who comes to us well-rested and ready for action.
Well-rested with a jet lag. Mr. Hutt, the 9,900 square feet on the proposed conditions, is that okay? Or do you can or is there a proposed condition, there's a 9,900 square feet limitation?
That is acceptable. The magic number of 10,000 brings you into different considerations for a building as far as requirements with other agencies and approvals, and that was why the building stayed just under 10,000 square feet.
Okay. Sorry, I had my hand on the mic suppression. Is the sign required?
I think that's another condition that I saw that is not on
not
there.
Not on there. Lighted sign?
Yes, similar to the other signs along that section of Savannah Road.
And then will you have a dumpster on site or anything for trash disposal?
I'm going to ask Mr. Murray if he knows the answer to that question.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is John Murray. I'm project manager with Kirscher Engineering here in town. In terms of trash service, we would have to consult with the doctors regarding the amount of refuse that's created. If they can make do with standard trash pickup as you would with residents, then that would be fine. If need be, we can provide a dumpster location. If so, it would be screened.
Well, that's what we'll do is we'll just put a condition in that says if a dumpster is used, it has to be screened. Okay, and if you don't use one, then it won't be required. Okay.
And, of course, medical waste will have to be dealt with as according to the medical requirements.
Yeah, there's a regulation for that.
There's
separate
regulations.
We don't have to worry about that. while you're here, I noticed a lot is fairly deep. The single-family house has been removed. I was by there yesterday. Do you have any idea how deep into this lot you're going to build or whatever?
Well, the plan outlines the building with the parking requirement. So you can see that the property itself is approximately 670 feet deep. We're leaving about 125 feet on the back that's undeveloped. We're leaving that open for stormwater management area. In reality, there could be less impervious coverage for the parking lot on the site. But in this case, we have the luxury of having two very well-experienced doctors as our clients. And they have a better idea of what their parking needs are. So you can see in the site data and zoning schedule that by code we're only required to provide 21 parking spaces, but we're providing 60. Just from experience, there being a real need for a little more than what the code calls for. So that space in the back, we've already had environmental testing done for our stormwater management needs. So it's, without this plan itself being the scale, I'd say it's about 125 feet in the back that is left green.
Okay, that's all my questions, Mayor Hutt. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Hudson.
No questions, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hawkins.
So I see you have the open space in the back, and you had just mentioned that you might need that for some stormwater. I guess my only question would be to make sure that you have enough parking space. I don't count 60, but maybe I'm not adding them all up. There's 6 times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Are they counting these on the end, maybe, too? So 7 still.
As was indicated, what's shown on the plan that exceeds by a great deal the required parking, and I did not individually count each of the spaces to see that there is 60 shown.
I guess I was just concerned that if you don't need all of that open space, if it's not mandated, that you could get some more parking spaces out there in the back. That's really the only comment I have.
All right then, Mr. Brandaway.
Done. Thank you.
None, thank you.
Okay, council?
Just, I guess for Ms. Cornwell, when does this go to council? You know?
I believe it's in March. I just can't.
That's fine. The reason I said that is we've approved so many conditional uses along Savannah Road, not knowing how you're going to act on it, but if you were going to act favorably, I would just request a deferral. And I don't want to hold them up. That's why I was asking the timing, so we'll have plenty more planning and zoning meetings just to make sure it's consistent with what we've done for others. And I will be the first to admit, Mr. Hutt, this goes beyond the legal area, but during your conversation you mentioned that the doctor's office next door was going to walk people over. Is there any interconnectivity planned or anything to do that? I know you're going to call me tomorrow and say, Mr. Robertson, why are you talking about planning and not legal stuff? But it just seemed like sort of a common sense thing to bring up. So
That's where it goes into a deeper conversation, and just for the record, the county council hearing is March 6, 2000.
Okay, so we've got time, good. I don't want to hold anybody up.
With respect to that, Dr. Hosmani's comment was that the neighboring doctor he has people who need primary care physician services. He's rendering those, although he would prefer not to refer to practice in his specialty, and that he could walk patients over. Wow. There had been an attempt to do a joint entrance here with the neighboring property, and those efforts were unsuccessful. But there's not a combination or like a direct pathway that's intended to be installed between the adjacent property and this property.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right, then, thank you again, Mr. Hutt. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2064 R&K Partners? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2064? Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Well, it's all right.
In between,
it's fine.
We hear that a lot.
My name is Joanne Sokol, and I live at 33506 West Hunters Run, which, if you're counting in from Parker Road, is the fourth lot. In other words, our backyard, my husband Arthur Rose and I, our backyard is directly opposite the site in question.
Okay.
And a number of concerns were already addressed. Good. Or at least generally addressed.
Okay.
But we do have some concerns about the project. How will noise be mitigated? I know a sign was mentioned, a lighted sign. Will that be on Savannah Road, or is that going to be glaring into the Five Points neighborhood? And if at all possible, I know talking to the other neighbors on our block, at least those who directly back to the site, we are concerned about the tree buffer. Do we have any idea how deep that will be and what kind of arrangements will be made for that? On another note, having just moved to Lewis in 2014, I know exactly how hard it is to find any sort of doctor. So with a few questions, welcome to the neighborhood, I think. And that is about it.
All right. Thank you. I'll see if we can get some answers for your questions.
Thank you.
On the sign issue, it would be limited in size. Unconditional use is typically to 32 square feet per side. And given the size, I don't think it would serve any purpose to put it anywhere but out on Savannah Road. The other thing is, with the new sign ordinance, too, they wouldn't be able to do any sort of electronic message display without approvals for it.
From the commission.
Yeah, from the commission. So it would just be a lighted sign like the other ones that are on Savannah Road. It wouldn't be a billboard or anything elevated or anything like that. And the commission does have the ability to put conditions on projects. I don't know, and that's something that they may take a look at. Might be a question for the applicant, Mr. Wheatley, just sort of, because I don't think it was touched on, like what sort of vegetation exists on the backside now.
It's on my list.
Yeah. So.
It is very weedy. There are some trees. There is a lot of low scrub, and it does tend to get wet.
Okay.
So. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hutt, or a member of your team, all of you can designate if you don't wish to answer or if you feel like someone that would be better. Could you speak to the issue of noise? Do we have any noise-generating activity going on in these medical offices?
No, I don't believe that there will be noise-generating. Obviously, it's a professional office. Hopefully, people are conversing in normal tones indoors, and the only time that they're really outdoors is to make way to their car and enter or leave the premises. So I don't believe that this is a noise-generating use. That would be inappropriate. Again, it's very similar to all the other, not all of the other uses, but at least on both sides of this property and up and down Savannah Road. And I'm not familiar with very many noise complaints arising out of the medical offices along Savannah Road. Okay.
Thank you. I think the sign concern was answered by Mr. Robertson, but let's touch upon the vegetative buffer. Would the applicant be open to some type of stipulation that there be some kind of meaningful buffer that might assuage the lady's concerns in that regard? Somebody want to comment on buffers, on vegetation?
With respect to a buffer, I think it may be a bit premature until the stormwater management plan has been fully engineered. Again, as was indicated during the presentation, they do intend to use best management practices using green technology, and typically those types of technologies and things do involve vegetation. And frankly, if anything, I would imagine it would clean up the area that is adjacent to her property.
Okay, well, that's a fair statement. But with that being said, I'm going to ask that you encourage your applicant to be sensitive to the concerns of the neighbors back there, and if there is an opportunity to do something to mitigate that with some meaningful vegetation, the commission would look upon that very favorably should your application be approved. Okay.
I think the Hasmanis have been good neighbors and good citizens to the city of Lewis, and I think that they would most likely comply with that.
I would concur with that, and thank you very much. We'll see if there's anyone else. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing.